PFT Media.
A prime example in a separation of church and state. We definitely look now at the theocratic madmen that were the Aztec Empire. Welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday and today, mix them up, and try and put together a cohesive story for you about world civilization. I am your professor for the evening, Dan P. And then, of course, we have our super producer, Chris Crespo.
What's up?
Operating at the Crespediso Studios, lone man.
Yeah, home base. COVID-free and, so far.
Yes. And, of course, the Jaguar warrior to my Eagle Scout, Pedro Lima.
Stop. Oh, man. Remember, what was the guy? Wasn't it we had somebody when we used to do fifth base, the Jaguars. It was like a music band called, like, Jaguar or whatever. And they had that cat sound. I gotta ask Ryan about it.
Yes, I remember that.
It was like Blood Jaguar or something. I gotta remember this, but I just remember that cat song. We were playing it all the time.
So, as you all know, we are still in separate studios.
Yep.
While the rest of the world goes to soccer games.
You're in the Palacio Perella. Poolside Studios.
Right.
Crespo Diso got the Crespo Dome. Mm-hmm. I got the kitchen studio, which is on the other side, but now I'm in the Florida room production side of the Criterium.
The Criterium Centrum.
Yeah. So today we're gonna move over back to Mexico. Get a little I guess people like to think of it as ancient history. And I think that's the first kind of myth that when people realize this about the Aztec Empire. They're actually...
around, right?
There are still Aztecs around. Like, there's still... The native language is still alive.
Yeah.
So. You know, a lot of people are mixed. Aztec Empire, for those of you who don't know, is where Mexico City currently is. That's the capital of the old Aztec Empire. So that's what we're looking at, southern Mexico.
What's Mayan?
Mayans are on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay.
And where's the Yucatan Peninsula?
Yucatan would be that little jut of Mexico that sticks out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Nice.
So yeah, as every tourist place is a Mayan ruin. Yeah, that's where they were. They were in the tourist area.
And that's kind of a sad way to put it.
So the Aztecs had Acapulco, and the Mayans had Cancun.
Yes, that's a good way to say it. They had Acapulco and Veracruz.
Okay, and then nobody cares about the Incas.
They're down there in South America doing their thing.
Nobody cares. Everybody, it's the Mayans with their calendar,
right?
And the Aztec warriors. Of man, this is like a Super Bowl of natives.
Right.
The AFC and the NFC division.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, these guys, because like I said, everyone thinks, like, when you say Aztec Empire, we think of this kind of ancient empire that was before, you know, the white man came, before Mexico really started. But remember, Cortez gets over there in 1520. So this is a relatively pre-modern empire. Like, this is, you know, the Aztec Empire is only around for about 100 years. It shows up around the 1430s. So, you know, and at the height of the Renaissance is when you get the Aztec Empire forming right now. So it's not ancient at all. It's just, we think they are, obviously, because they're gone, one, for the most part. And the technology just wasn't there.
Mel Gibson's movie.
Apocalypto.
Apocalypto. That's more about the Mayans than the Aztecs, right? Or is it right. a mix of both?
It's more Mayan than Aztec.
Okay. Because at the end is when Cortez comes in.
Right.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry. Not that anybody's watching any more Mel Gibson movies. But.
Yeah, so it's the... Yeah, so we're looking at the 1400s. Yeah, and like Pedro said, the Mayans, they're the first ones to see the Spanish because they're right there on the Yucatan. That's where it falls. And then after that, the Aztecs are going to get conquered. And we talked about that in our history of Latin America already. What's interesting is that the Mayans and the Aztecs are very different in culture-wise. The Aztecs are more of a mercenary group that became an empire.
Whereas the Aztecs were like hitmen?
Yeah, pretty much. They were mercenaries who eventually realized they could just cut out the middleman and be the kingdom and not that is the warriors instead of the kingdom that hires them.
Okay. Who was hiring the Aztecs?
All right. So there were a lot of Mexican kingdoms at this time.
Okay.
A lot of little city states. That's, I mean, the Mexico in the 1400s, 1300s was a lot like Italy in the Renaissance with different little city states, or like Greece in its ancient times, where it was Athens and Sparta and all that. Okay. So they're all divided, you know, in this web. They are originally from, another difference between these two is that the Mayans are descendant from the Olmecs. Whereas the Aztecs are descendants from the Toltec.
How do you spell that?
T-O-L-T-E-C. Yeah, so Toltec, and they are the first ones who build what's kind of the first central area in Mexico called Teotihuacan.
Spell that. No, I'm messing.
Is there an X in there somewhere? There's probably an X in there.
Not in that one, but yeah, Teotihuacan.
There's like an H and a C together.
Mm-hmm. Originally, the Aztecs aren't even called the Aztecs at this point. That comes a little bit later. They are just this extra group of warriors, kind of part of they're originally part of a larger group of people known as the Mexica. So these guys are very religious, very, very powerful group of warriors, part of the Mexican tribe. And, you know, most of these cultures at this time believe in blood sacrifice.
Okay.
It's not an exclusive Aztec thing. It's just the original religions from the old days of the Olmec and stuff all required blood. So Mayans, Aztecs, Tlaxcala, the Mexica, they all have some kind of blood sacrifice going on.
Around how many of these little tribes were there?
You're looking at about... I wouldn't want to say between 12 and 20 different little kingdoms in Mexico.
Okay.
Right. So they are, you know, like I said, they're not even their own city state just yet. They're the suburbs of someone else's city. So, but they're a powerful tribe. And they how they break away from the Mexica is because their religion is a little bit too intense for most of the other Mexicans.
Oh, okay. How so?
Well, they decide to unite their tribe with the main Mexican tribe by marrying one of the chief's daughters.
Okay.
All right. So they marry. It's a good union. Months goes by, and the chief hasn't heard from his daughter.
Okay.
Okay.
Bad reception. So,
yeah, whatever. Honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking. So he's like, hey, you know what? I'll just go by and say hello. See what's going on.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What's in the box? What's in the box? Are they playing soccer with her head? Is this when soccer was invented?
No, this is not. This is not where they're playing soccer with their head. Okay. What had happened, though, I mean, you are right. We're definitely getting into a what's in the box situation here. The high priest comes out wearing her skin.
What? Like Buffalo Bill?
Yeah. Because they believe that the royal blood and skin would, because it was royal and it was on a higher plane, would give him better communication with the gods.
Oh. Interesting theory.
It puts the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever the gods are told.
To be fair, I mean, someone has to try it the first time to see if it works or not.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, it clearly worked.
Mm-hmm. Or this was the first time.
Yeah.
You're still waiting for the message.
Probably didn't have the right skin. This one was the right one.
So what you're saying, Pedro, is we got to keep looking for that skin.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Lotion up.
So did it work out for the priest, for the high priest?
Yeah. Did the high priest talk to people?
Well, there's definitely a problem there. The chief is a little bit upset.
You think?
Just a bit. Just a bit.
Yeah, but.
So he exiles the entire tribe.
Wait, when the chief goes there and the high priest is the one that welcomes him in, and he's like, "You're not my daughter."
He's the one who welcomes him in. He's the priest was considered almost as powerful, if not more powerful, than the emperor of the Aztecs by the time of their empire.
You know, they the balls, super the, religious. The balls to go up to the father of the daughter you just skinned. Just too high. Like nothing happened. Like, hey, you want a hugger?
So they are exiled from Central Mexico.
Exiled? That's it? Simply, I mean, I would
have. You're out. Evicted. They get evicted for scalping the princess.
Yeah, there's still a very powerful tribe. They don't want to risk a major tribal war, so he just goes with exile.
All right,
so they head down south, and according to legend, they see a vision.
Oh, so the skin did work.
Yes, of where they should build their city, because they saw an eagle eating a snake on a cactus on a little island in the middle of a lake.
Yo, that's the flag, son.
Yep. And that's where it comes from. It's this vision that they got right in the center of Lake Texcoco is where they will build their city, Tenochtitlan.
Is it possible that's like, you know how these shamans that use psychedelics, like naturally derived psychedelics to like, get their visions and stuff?
So the
flag could be like just like a peyote trip drawn.
Nah, dude, because that you've seen an eagle eating a snake, and eagles don't give a shit. They'll land on anything.
Yeah,
like, man, I saw an owl toss a snake one time in my yard, and if I didn't have a flag, that would be my sigil. Just an owl just saying F you to a snake and just throwing it in front of my pool.
I mean, that could be the half true history insignia.
That would be good.
Yeah. So that's what it was. Now, there are tribes that take hallucinogenics at this time to get close to the gods. The number one drug is a liquid that secretes from the San Pedro cactus. That's the big one. So, and but that's mostly
what
down.
Is that? In, what is that? Tequila?
No, it's just it's a say mix whatever.
It's not ayahuasca. Is that ayahuasca?
It's more of a. It's actually more of a South American thing.
Okay.
The San Pedro cactus was used sometimes in southern Mexico, but we're talking more about like the Peruvians and Colombians.
I know what you're talking about.
Yes, even then the cartels were popular.
Even then. Oh, the flower.
So they built this city on rock and roll. And basically, they create this little Aztec kingdom and start selling themselves out as mercenaries to other kingdoms. Because they're known as crazy, badass warriors who will skin chieftains' daughters and wear their skin.
And welcome the chieftains while wearing the skin. That's the most ballsy fucking move to me.
Right.
It's just, damn.
So, yeah, they're renting themselves out for about 50 years or so. They just to all these little kingdoms, and they get money. Of course, they get paid. And eventually they got enough money. They're just like, hey, let's make our own borders. Let's start our own kingdom.
What was the denomination? What is it?
Currency?
The currency. Thank you.
You know, I actually don't know what the currency was for the Aztecs. It never came upon my studies, but now
they're getting paid. How are they getting? Are they getting like? Is it a trade system? Like, here we're going to give you 20 goats.
Well, they have gold.
Gold. Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
there's
right,
gold and right. silver in Mexico, like all over the place. So yeah, it's obsidian, gold, and silver are the big ones.
Okay, so you're just passing bags of rocks and shit. Okay,
essentially, yeah.
Pretty rocks though. Nice looking.
Right.
Rocks.
Yeah. Polish.
Yeah. Now they are expert smiths. They do melt down the gold and make some really nice jewelry and everything like that. So that is a technology they do have. They don't have to wait for the Europeans to get over to have it. But the Aztecs lack. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just saying. So they already had like all the stereotypical necklaces, like even crowns and stuff like that. They're already doing.
Right. They have all of that. They have. Whole society. Mm-hmm. The only thing that they don't have is giant four-legged domesticated animals.
Oh.
So farming is slower over there. All the farming has to be done by hand.
Is it because of a lack of those type of animals, or they just never didn't get around to domesticating them yet?
They don't get it. They don't exist in that part of the world just yet.
Ah, okay. Because they have to be brought over, right?
Right. Pigs, sheep, horses, cows, all of that stuff was European and Asian. Mm-hmm. None of that existed.
Isn't the jaguar is there?
The jaguar, but you can't really hook a jaguar up to a plow.
I mean, these bastards try to skin to communicate. I just want to know how many of them try to domesticate a...
Or at least guaranteed one guy tried to plow a field with a jaguar.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's trying. Did you know that Christopher Walken was a lion tamer?
No.
Yeah, I learned that little fun fact. When he was a kid, he was part of a circus act, and he was a lion tamer.
Of course he was.
All right. Tap dancing, lion taming, Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was Pedro's fun fact of the week.
Yeah, my Christopher Walken fun fact of the month.
You better have one for the next episode.
Oh, I got a month. I got a month to find one. Oh, damn it.
So, you know, they have metal crafting. The only thing that they don't really have, though, is the domesticated farm animals, and they don't have the technology on how to make steel.
Okay.
So all of their weapons are either sharpened obsidian or copper at best. I got the soft corn one. So we're not looking at any type of advanced weapons. But for the time, again, they're also fighting other tribes with no advanced weapons, so it's easy for them. They are not really challenged for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they are extremely proud warriors, they're extremely aggressive warriors, and they are extremely religious, which is a reason why they fight so viciously.
That's the funny thing about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the ancient times, people are just like, let's just kill for this imaginary thing.
Ancient times. Yeah.
Yeah. So far, long ago. That's such a foreign concept to today.
Yeah. I know.
Right. So by 1427, we now have the Aztec Kingdom. And it's going to be led by two brothers. The Emperor Montezuma and his brother, who's the high priest,
Charlie.
Montezuma and Charlie, yes.
No, it's the other brother's name?
Takal.
Oh, Takal. Okay.
Yes, Takal. He's the he is your stereotypical evil advisor to the king.
Nice.
Like pretty much like clockwork. He is your evil man behind the throne.
He's the Stephen Miller.
Isn't there a beer called no, that's Tecate. It could be the same thing. How you spell Tecal? Is it T-E-C-A-T-L?
T-A-C-E. T-A-C. It's like T-L-A-C. And then it ends in E-L. It's Tecal.
Yeah, it's these Mexicans don't know how to put letters in the right order, but whatever.
Oh, you're putting in a an
Aztec L before T except after C.
Yeah, and you're putting it to a Phoenician alphabet that they didn't even have. Yeah. So yeah, there were gonna be those. All right, so this guy's a piece of work, all right? The Aztecs are all about order and law and order in their society. The first thing that he does is he changes the Aztec history.
Okay.
The priest has all this power. The first thing they do is basically create a giant propaganda machine where they start reteaching Aztec history. Whereas they were chosen by the great god, Quetzalcoatl, and he gave them the vision of Lake Texcoco, and they built this great civilization.
For them to do that, that means they had to kill all the high priests or high priests, right?
Anybody who wasn't willing to change the knowledge and start reteaching, yes, had to go.
Oh.
Yeah, and any stories, any tablets or drawings beforehand were eliminated.
Oh, damn. So they just completely erased everything.
Oh, yeah. It's the Aztec version of book burning.
Just shred everything to the shredder.
Right. So according to them, they never had Buffalo Bill-like tendencies.
Got you. So this guy's just wearing somebody's skin for nothing now.
That guy's dead by now. This is a new one to call. Yeah. Yeah, so Tikal changes the history completely, and as they conquer new cities, they destroy that city's history and remake it into Aztec history.
Oh, damn.
So the next generation is born thinking that it has always been Aztec, and this is what the gods want.
Damn.
Wow.
It's a massive brainwashing throughout the whole thing.
That's pretty impressive, social engineering on such a large scale like that.
Tikal is probably one of the smartest evil administrators in world history. He doesn't get enough credit.
He's the Dick Cheney of his day.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would easily, you know, he could teach a lot of fascist leaders how to properly do it, because he really does. Like, he really changes the entire culture. Even today, the stereotypes we have about the Aztecs were created by Tikal.
Like what? Like the warrior stuff and
the warrior stuff and how important it was. And also, we think of the Aztecs, we always think of the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
the blood sacrifices, and that was their religion. That was only their religion because Tikal changed the culture to increase the amount of sacrifices in their religion.
So who is crazier, the Aztecs or the Mayans? Because again,
Aztecs.
I'm basing the Mayan thing
right
on the Mel Gibson movie Apocalypto. Mm-hmm.
Mayans are very very different. They're kind of to their own, but they do have this society and oral tradition and everything. Aztecs are all about changing the entire culture, changing the world to their new world order.
Okay.
And they and eventually they do believe it. They believe that they're Quetzalcoatl's chosen. The great feathered serpent. That's this. So it's this whole thing. So he increases the amount of sacrifices. Now, most of these Mexica tribes, they did have blood sacrifices in their religion, but it was really only for big ceremonies or before a big war or something like that to appease the gods. It was in case of emergency, break glass type of stuff.
Yeah, pull a number.
Right, and that was for human sacrifices. You know, other than that, yeah, kill a. A taper or whatever.
Who would get selected in this? Was everybody up for grabs or no?
No, these were very, very selective choices. He wanted to make sure that he had a good grasp over the people. It's all this is all his part of his strategy.
Okay.
So first off, he makes human sacrifice almost daily to make sure the sun comes up. He changes that culture. And because
Wait,
of that,
yeah, because hold on. Because
yeah,
not
say that again.
To make sure the sun comes up, he had to do a daily sacrifice.
A daily pulling out of a human heart on top of a.
So he's convinced people if this doesn't happen, the sun is not coming up.
This is Apocalypto, bro. Aztecs is the Apocalypto.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this does come from, like, he does borrow a lot from Aztec. I didn't realize, I forgot about that. Yeah. So that's the Aztec world.
Wait, now you're telling me Mel Gibson's movie isn't historically accurate?
Believe it? I can't believe it.
I mean, I get all my American Revolution knowledge from The Patriot.
Jeez. Oh, and then there's, I don't even want to find out about Braveheart now.
William Wallace? So yeah, he's my hero.
We'll talk about that one day. But yeah, so it's gradual. You know, a little as time goes on, you know, again, he doesn't do these so quickly that people start rebelling. He's, you know, he's not, he does it very slyly. Over the years, things slowly change.
Wait, so daily is not, eventually, it's not alarming people. It'd be like, hey, what's Ralph?
Eventually,
you know, I don't know if you remember yesterday, but that was because of Ralph.
The sun came up yesterday.
It just eventually it becomes daily and people start to accept it. It's just one of those things. As long as you say it over and over again, people don't really remember the past. They think they do. Just like the Sinbad Kazam movie.
Mm-hmm. It's there. Nobody acknowledged.
Exactly. We don't know. It could have been, but we all swear it existed at one point. Mm-hmm. So he does this for two reasons. One, this makes the priest caste the most important group in the entire empire because you need all these priests for the sacrifices and religious parts. So it gives his guys the rub. So that's one of the reasons. The second thing he does is it keeps the war machine going. All the sacrifices for the most part are prisoners of war.
Oh, right. Very smart.
So it keeps the war machine going, keeps it turning. The Aztec Empire will never not be at war with someone. And because they're always at war with someone, there's always an enemy to be afraid of. And so therefore, they always have to trust the government or this enemy will conquer them.
So they got to kidnap at least 30 people.
A month.
A month.
Yeah.
Unless their calendar is different.
I think it is. I don't think it's 30 a month, but yeah, it's a lot. And that's why the Aztec army retrains itself even. It's the, and this is, again, this shows, this proves them to be some of the most badass warriors of this time. The entire army changes their strategy to defeat their enemy non-lethally so they can take more prisoners.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. If you're, mm-hmm. if you're trying to get bodies for the sacrifices, you can't kill them in the battlefield.
Right. That's basically, so most of their tactics are about crippling or breaking bones and stuff, taking them out, but keeping them alive.
Yeah. Oh. So you can, for tomorrow.
So that was their sacrificial life there, the Aztecs.
That's insane, dude. I mean,
back then, wild.
They probably didn't think it was that crazy, but shit.
Yeah. So, and it's all about keeping people in their place. Montezuma is not any better than his brother. While Tikal handles all of the religious laws, Montezuma is in charge of the civic laws. Mm-hmm. And he makes it a different set of rules for the rich and the poor.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you're poor, being drunk in public is illegal.
Okay.
Being homosexual is illegal. Being nude in public is illegal.
Oh, they had the gap back then? Okay.
Yeah. Adultery is illegal.
If you're poor.
If you're poor.
Okay.
None of these laws apply if you're rich.
If you're rich, you can be drunk. You can bang somebody else's wife.
Mm-hmm. You could bang someone else. Yeah. Or you could cheat on your wife with her husband.
Or you can have gay, is hot, steamy, yeah. Mayan or Aztecan gay sex.
Right in the middle of the public square, because you're allowed to be nude in public.
That's right.
So
hold my plantain skirt.
So it was this whole set of laws. There was even types of clothing you couldn't wear if you were poor.
Really? Like, I'm going to guess bird feathers.
Yes, only the rich could wear those. Only the rich could wear a certain amount of gold, a certain amount of silver. So they actually counted like how many pieces of silver and gold you had, jewelry you had on you.
So how the hell do you go from being poor to rich?
The same way you, rise yourself if you're poor in the United States today.
Be born rich?
Or
you hustle and get into crime?
So crack? Way to get, so crack? Great, play basketball?
A great way to get out of your poor town, get your soccer college player. Paid for.
Military.
Join the military.
Military.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I've yet GI come Bill. Across any rich military people.
Oh, well, it doesn't actually happen, but it's the promise that you could be one day a retired general with acres and acres of land.
Yeah, yeah, how many five-star generals do you know, Pedro? you know all the privates.
Yeah. Right, and they join because they sell them on this thing of you can really remake your life into something great and put yourself in a higher station than when you came from. It was a knightly class. It was called the Quapili class. And if you were a Quapili, you served in the army for a certain number of years, and if you survived that time, then you got moved into the station and you were allowed to enjoy the luxuries of the upper class. So that was what Montezuma did, created the Quapili class, which is this idea of you can better yourself.
Hey, can you shoot those ducks, or is that illegal?
It's a preserve over there, so probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yo, dude, you got real life duck hunt in your house.
Oh, yeah, no, they're conspiring. They've got families over there. Oh,
okay. Yeah. They're like, they're talking about our people, the Aztecs. They came back, reborn as a mallard.
As ducks. And so they, that's kind of the Aztec Empire. This powerful confederation Once the Aztecs take you over, you have to accept Aztec history, Aztec culture, and you have to pay the Aztec Empire tribute every year for being conquered by the great Aztecs.
Okay.
So there's a fee to be part of the Aztec Empire that you didn't want to be part of.
And they pretty much just take over the whole...
Most of Mexico, with a few exceptions of areas in the Yucatan, and there's a group called the Tlaxcala that are still holding out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But between the two, is Montezuma like the top dude, or is it Tikal the top dude? Because it sounds like Tikal is the bigger fucking threat.
If you're in the court, you know who's in charge. It's Tikal. But the people believe it's Montezuma.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like Dick Cheney to Bush kind of deal. Yeah,
exactly. It's the Dick Cheney
Bush. Montezuma's the name, but the puppet master is Tikal.
Mm-hmm. And so they continue with this. And Aztecs, they pretty much have a society just like the Europeans of in Rome or in Greece or anything like that. It's basically the same tribute society. They have slaves just like the Europeans at this time. Actually, the Europeans don't even have slaves at this time. That's not a thing until they get to the New World. But they have slaves, and they actually, just like the military, they make slavery sound good, so you sign up for slavery.
Oh, yeah. Hey, sign up to pick these points.
What you can do is you can be someone's slave if you are in debt. That noble will pay your debt, and you just become a servant for whatever the agreed term of contract is.
Okay.
Indentured servitude type of...
More like indentured servitude.
Okay. So he got a job at a call center. Okay.
Essentially. Right. And eventually, your student loans will get paid off.
Sure. Sure.
Now, they pay their slaves. They have to take care of them. There's actually laws about protecting your slaves.
Oh, look at that.
If you mistreat your slave, it can be taken away from you. And slaves can actually own slaves.
What? It's a crazy-ass backward pyramid scheme.
If you save enough of the little bit of money that... Because they do still pay you a little bit of something. And then you can go and buy your own slave.
That's some Herbalife type shit right there.
Right? What's interesting about their slavery, too, unlike, when we think of slavery, of course, we think of American slavery. Their slavery was not hereditary, though. You didn't inherit slavery. So your son would be born free.
Got you. But you would still work, and
you still work until the debt was paid.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you sold yourself as a slave, your children weren't sold as slaves, or if you had children later on, they didn't, you know, they were free children.
You know, I'm pretty sure the compassion of human beings is if they liked that child, they would just take that child.
Right. So, and that's kind of how the system worked.
Humans are so...
And they create the war machine, and so they don't really notice how much the upper class is screwing over the lower class because they're so concerned about the war with the Tlaxcala.
Mm. Oh, whoever they're fighting.
Right. And then when Montezuma II takes over, you get an even stricter group. He eliminates the Kwapili class, so you can't even rise. And, well, we don't really know what happens after that, because then Cortez shows up.
So who gets... Okay, so what's Montezuma's revenge? Is that just...
The belief of Montezuma's... I mean, you know what it is, right?
It's, yeah, when you drink water in Mexico and...
Right, so the belief was that it's some kind of Aztec curse or some kind of last type of thing there.
Yeah.
Montezuma's revenge. But, there we go. So definitely a powerful theocracy. And, you know, it's I always like to talk about the Aztecs in this way because there's two sides to everything. You know, I know it's very popular to blame the Spanish for conquering people, but the other side were assholes, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't just eating corn and you know, domesticating jaguars.
Right. Right, so it's really like, which mercenaries do you like the best?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these guys at least kept a day going by killing one person a day. Like, they're taking goddamn vitamins to the sun.
It's the sun's one a day.
One a day. Wah! Throw them down the steps.
Yeah. So all of that, again, all of that's created by Tikal, what we think of the Aztecs. He's the one who's the mastermind of all this. It was never really part of their culture until he started forming this master plan to control the society.
Hey, make sure for the end of this episode, play Method Man's Tikal to close this up.
All right, do that.
Tikal.
Oh, there you go. A little fun thing on the Aztecs.
We learned a lot. We learned that Apocalypto is based on the Aztecs and not the Mayans.
Right. And, you know, this is... sometimes religion goes a little too far.
No.
Just a bit.
I mean, when did they curve it? You know what I mean? At what point did they stop?
Like, they stopped when the Spanish took over.
That's when, like, okay, listen, we can't kill any. We gotta hope this day doesn't start again.
Oh, yeah, the Spanish, as soon as they take over, they're like, you're not killing people. We need you as slaves.
No, but that's not gonna be a tomorrow. They're like,
hey, guys, watch this.
Yeah. Hold my goblet.
Thank you, everybody, for another great episode of Half True History. From me, Pedro Lima, Chris Crespo. Follow us as much as you can and all of the PFT Media family there. Yep. And check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And I guess we'll see you again with another story to tell.
Peace.
Cow to cow. What's that shit that they smoke? Cow to cow. Pass it over here. Cow to cow. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1.
A PFT Media production.